Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline.ag. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. It's the same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second, there's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline.ag. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline.ag. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline.ag.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show. It is the week before WrestleMania, y'all. It is April 11th already. Wow. Crazy. April wow. Showers, bringing in the Mayflowers. We're doing the thing. Happy spring. What's going on, everyone? Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats at humperchats.com. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. Helps boost us in the algorithms as we're coming to you live late on a Friday night. I'm, of course, joined by Alex Cardoza. Alex, what's going on?
I'm just here for the ride, my friends. How is everyone doing this fine evening? I've been telling Kate for 2 weeks in a row, it doesn't feel like WrestleMania, lead up or anything. It used to, I used to have such a sense of urgency and wanting to see the show and the spectacle of it all. And as of late, I'm just like, what's happening? But, you know, and today we're going to talk about it because a lot of stuff happened today that I'm just like, huh?
Yeah, it felt like a couple months ago we had a really good window for some well-paced builds. And now we're kind of at the end of the road and it's kind of, on some of these. But we're going to talk about this episode of SmackDown. We're going to talk about WrestleMania in general coming up. But before we do, we're going to tell you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. There were a lot of AEW scoops going up. Orange Cassidy and Mark Davis and Jay White all injured, unfortunately. That goes on our free tier of Fightful Select. Sean doesn't tend to paywall injuries, except maybe if there's some additional details. But overall, not a fan of charging for injury news. That just kind of feels icky. But on the paid tier, we had news about possibly Jay White having been planned to turn heel before his injury. We had news about Bandido being anticipated to win the ROH title months ago. He got injured right when he came back. So this Jericho Bandido feud was supposed to wrap up earlier. And a couple of things that Sean had to clear up misconceptions about today. Jordan Grace is doing just fine on the pay front, people. What Sean had been clarifying earlier in the day was that Jordan Grace gave up some financial income from outside activities, as sometimes happens when you go over to WWE, right? There's certain trade-offs that you make and certain things that you have as parameters of your independent contractor agreement and things like that. Additionally, Kevin Owens has not had his neck surgery yet. That was a big thing that we wanted to make sure was clarified. That was on FightfulSelect.com as well. It had been reported earlier that Kevin Owens did undergo his surgery this past week, and that has not been the case. We talked about it last week because the news broke through SmackDown. Kevin Owens had announced that he had to get neck surgery, was going to be out of action for a while. And all week, I've just missed that guy. I miss that guy so much. Having him and Eddie Kingston out at the same time is unfair. It's like a personal attack on me as a wrestling fan, I swear. Like, it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough because they bring something really, really special to me. And why I bring them up together is I feel like they bring this specific ingredient of making you buy into the fact that these people want to fight people. And that to me is like, that's pro wrestling, baby. But we're going to talk about everything going on tonight. We did one more thing before we fully get into the meat of the episode. We do have our great partners on BetOnline AG who have WrestleMania odds for you. Yes, you can bet on wrestling. You heard Sean Rossap talking about it via video, kind of like old school, like the Attitude Era, pre-recorded video coming to you live. But there's all sorts of things that you can bet on, not just outcomes of matches, but right now, Nick Aldis, before this episode, I know, was positioned as the favorite to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. That was before we saw the end of SmackDown and the opening segment. So there's some fun things like that, Hall of Fame induction bets that you can check out over there. And of course, you can bet on traditional sports too. You don't have to only bet on wrestling. There's plenty to bet on BetOnline AG. They're a great partner to us. We always try to put on social media what the odds are going into things. FightfulSelect.com is like, I think has 100% rating for lock picks on stuff. So those underdogs, you're going to want to be subscribed to FightfulSelect.com. You're going to, in probably one or two underdog lock picks, you're going to be paying off that Fightful Select subscription for the year, which is, of course, the best $5.99 in the biz. But Alex, we were talking about it at the beginning of the episode. There's just some things that don't feel like WrestleMania is a week away. We're going to get into it all over this episode, but let's get through some of these opening chats. Thank you so much for them in. Taylor Cannon, a member for 42 months. Thank you so much. Taylor's always so wonderful. Says, hello, favorite post show, Alexis and Kate. Just some wonderful folks. Well, thank you. Love you guys. Love you, Taylor. Taylor's like legit just one of the most supportive people about these wrestling post shows and just in general, just a very kind person. But he asks, does Tiffany retain next week? Now, after last week, I don't know what to make heads or tails on. I had initially thought Tiffany probably loses to Charlotte and then maybe wins it back at SummerSlam or on the road to SummerSlam, because I thought initially, I was like, man, this is going to be a hot feud going into this. And now the chemistry has been so rough. I don't know what they do. But in the beginning, I thought there was going to be this kind of like looking in the mirror or not looking in the mirror as much as I was you when I started out here, kid. Like, I thought it was going to be a lot of that because their characters are similar enough that they would cross over. But I don't know if they're going to want to run like a trilogy out of this with everything that's happened. Alex, what do you think happens on the grandest stage of them all? Do you think Charlotte wins or do you think Tiffy wins?
Maybe the original plan was always for Charlotte to win, and maybe things have changed. I don't know, you know, depending on how they're reading the crowd with everything that just happened. You know, they're always kind of like listening as of late to what's happening outside of the wrestling world. Excuse me, the inside of the ring.
Sure.
But
yeah.
If they go ahead and plant the title on Charlotte, which is not out of the realm for it to happen, and you give her a nice run during the summer, we all know, you know, summer, you want numbers. Is if numbers go down for everyone during the summer. So if you have a face, you know, the face like Charlotte, and then you have a chase by Tiffany, that could look really good. You can create a lifelong rivalry between these two. And you're right. It flies right into SummerSlam. And is SummerSlam going to be two nights as well?
Two nights right here in Jersey, my friend. So
there you go. I will definitely not be going. But yeah, so Jersey's just,
I know you left us for North Carolina.
I know it'll be cold by then, right? August, yeah, freezing up there. So
freezing. August is like nasty hot.
But I know it is. But yeah, that's what I think. I mean, that would actually look so much better, to be completely honest, is to have that run, that chase by her. It would be so cool.
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head about a couple of things. One, I think Tiffany feels more comfortable as a heel. And we talked about this a little bit. FightfulSelect.com, by the way, had a ton of details about Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair. Like, report and then updated report with reactions to things. So we're going to talk about, like, they had this parking lot angle that happened as well. So we'll get into all of that and more. But Tiffany is not only a face, she's a face champion. So you raise a really good point, because she seems more comfortable as a heel, and she's not even a face that's chasing anything. She's a face as a champion. So I think you're right in that that might be something that is just tilted this a little bit. I feel like Charlotte felt very uncomfortable last week. Like, we'll see what happens, but I think that's a really good point, is that she's a babyface that hasn't really chased anything. She was chasing as a heel, kind of turning face. So kind of maybe the awkwardness of that as a story. NXT is normally frustratingly good, and I'll explain what I mean, about making sure that people get a run as a face and a heel while they're down there. And when I say frustratingly, I mean sometimes their desire to test that out seems to overpower creative and booking. Like, sometimes it feels like people just turn heel and face for no reason. And my belief is, this hasn't been reported, I haven't heard anything on this, but
breaking news.
Not at all. Not at all, though. We do get this chat that says, reporter in the field, yes. Kate and Clav's salute.
I was going to say, if you guys look at Kate, he'd be looking a little bit like Caitlin Collins now, CNNing it up here at Fightful.
Alex, I'm standing here on the SmackDown post show, and we are going to reveal this episode of SmackDown. I do think... seeing it unfold on the main roster now, I feel like that feels like a really good test to make sure that you get both sides, yes, of the coin of what people are comfortable with. It's, mm-hmm, just frustrating to watch it sometimes in NXT, but their goal is to develop wrestlers for the future. It just sometimes makes for a confusing TV product. But we've got more chats from you, more generous chats too. You, yeah, guys sending in some of these 999ers. Thank you so much. Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. I'm leaving an indie wrestling show, so I don't know what happened on SmackDown, but sending love. Also, check out Dimension 20 Titan Takedown episode 1 is out with WWE people. D&D is fun. That's really good to know, actually, especially since I'm helping out with the social side of that. I'll bookmark that for our
our social media. We love you, chat.
We love you, chat. I hope your independent show was fun. Indie wrestling is so much fun, man.
It's super fun.
For the same reason going to AA baseball is more fun than going to Major League Baseball sometimes. Like, it's just a blast. But Megan's an AEW sicko. You sickos.
You saying, hey, Vince sicko.
And Clavicle. Only saw the main event, but wanted to say hi. Thank you so much. Prestige Wrestling tomorrow. Prestige is a fantastic, fantastic promotion. I gotta say, like, I'll finish this chat and then we'll talk about it. Doing the X-Pac meet and greet, then seeing Tomohiro Ishii, Zack Sabre Jr., my favorite, and the Rascals versus Sinners and Saints, TNA in Portland. Oh my goodness. Hey, you got a...
Wow. Yeah,
Oregon's eaten for wrestling there. But one thing that I love about Prestige is, and the indies right now in America in general, it used to just be like independent wrestling, and then your diversity and presentations were frequently televised or those kind of middle tier promotions. I feel like the kind of top tier indies now have diversity within themselves, meaning like Prestige is a presentation that resonates with me, not just because they book Zack Sabre Jr., though that does help, but their presentation caters to what I like. You have the GCWs of the world, which I can enjoy from time to time. Deathmatch wrestling isn't like super my thing. Mm-hmm. Defy does something a little different. So even on the independent scene, you get this nice like trickle down effect about the different types of presentations. But some more love from you guys showing out today. Meet Norma saying, it's raining so hard, I can't smoke meat, so I'm sad. It is raining hard. I'm so sorry for you. But
I don't know why I find that so funny. But
because phrase smoke meat is in it. But
hey,
blue chew segue today, man. You're making it hard for me.
I see that.
Making it hard for me.
I've been told once or twice, baby. Let's go. No, just
but the only prescription is more bangs and claps. Sometimes cowbell. How is SmackDown usual poopiness? Some good, some bad, some ugly. We're gonna talk about it all.
Hey,
Tom LaValle saying,
real quick, I just want to apologize to anyone up there in the Northeast. I know, like, this week you guys even got snow, like, things are hitting the fan. I'm over here, 86 degree weather.
Oh no, Cardoza had to go away for a second because he was talking about how beautiful it is in North Carolina. The bangs in the clav. Love you all so much. If April showers bring May flowers, what do May flowers bring? Well, my birthday's in there, so it brings another year older. Shout out for to me,
Kate.
let's finally zip into this episode of SmackDown. Keep those super chats and humper chats coming, but it very, very much for real.
The big 2-6 for Kate, out. By the way. So everyone better get her presents.
Please, please do. Well, where should we start? Where do we start?
We always start at the top, the tippity-tippity top of the world.
Well, we don't. We usually start with the main event.
Is that not the top?
It kind of is. Let's I guess, talk about this Randy
I'm Orton so dumb, then. I apologize. If no, in wrestling not. Terms, that means like the beginning of the card. 47 years watching wrestling, and here I am.
It can mean whatever we want it to mean, but we'll the start of the show and the end of the show are related, so we'll rock and roll with that. I like that. But we have Randy Orton coming out. We do have kind of a recap of Kevin Owens talking about how he has to step away. I can't emphasize enough from the bottom of our hearts the best to him and his healing journey. But Nick Aldis comes out to the ring, and he kind of addresses this whole situation and invites Randy Orton out to explain himself, which he kind of does. He says, like, last time I went too far and I had to pay a fine, I gave you more than I needed to because I was prepaying for the next time that I crossed the line, which was pretty cute. I liked that. And he says he's been in the business for 20 years and he wants a WrestleMania opponent. And Aldis says, wasn't about the money with the fine. It's about the respect. And that Nick Aldis has worked hard to get where he is. And that he just deserves the respect of not having, you know, being physically assaulted. But before things can move along any further, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga come out. And they basically just attack him in the corner here. And LA Knight comes out to make the save. Challenges Fatu at Mania. I loved, he said, I took my name out of your mouths and put my fist in it, I think he said, which is a great line. And he also says, if it tingles your loins, we'll have a match later. Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga versus him and Randy, which Nick Aldis approves. And then we do get just that. We have that match to end the show. And you're not going to believe this, guys, but it does all break down. We have the BFT for the win here. And then Jacob Fatu coming out. Just the charisma of this guy can't be overstated. And I think I say that every week, but
he's so good. They're
brawling into the crowd. I talked about missing Kevin Owens because he has that brawl feel.
Yeah.
Like, Fatu has been in the Bloodline, which I don't view as like a group of brawlers, right? They're a little more methodical, definitely violent. Like Solo Sikoa doing the Samoan spike to everybody is like a cute move. But he kind of just with his presence, he feels very like I'm here to mess things up. I almost said a swear, but that's the vibe that he gets off.
I'm telling.
So a decent enough match. Nice to see Solo Sikoa getting mixed up. Mm-hmm. Cardoza, what I want to know from you is, do you think we're getting Randy Orton versus Solo Sikoa at Mania? Do you think we're getting him versus Nick Aldis at WrestleMania? Do you think we're going to get an open challenge and Aleister Black answers the call? Like, it's a week away, just over a week away. We only have one more week of wrestling television here. What did you make of this angle, and who do you want to see Orton face now, a week later?
Honestly, I think it's pretty open right now for him, right? Randy Orton, that's the big surprise. I mean, and Aleister Black is cool, but we've mentioned last week it just wouldn't make sense, right? So Randy Orton would have to take a kick.
You'd have to lose.
Yeah, like, and that's something we don't want. And then the whole Nick Aldis thing, they've kind of held back on having these individuals be wrestlers, right? Be entertainers in the ring. They've really held them to their role. They haven't moved them out of that. You know what I'm saying? You have two NWA guys running two different shows, which is really cool, by the way, which I think about that all the time now. But it's like, I don't to push Nick Aldis to be out there for like a WrestleMania moment, it would have to be significantly big. We've known that things do happen at WrestleMania. We know that. That's the whole thing, right? Like, you gotta watch. If not, you'll miss it. So I don't know if something just goes super wrong at WrestleMania where he takes out Solo or you know, it's just it just gets heated and maybe Randy like pushes or does something to initiate, you know, some type of physicality against Aldis. And then we see that like Aldis is now taking off his freaking sports jacket. He's like getting ready, you know, doing the whole padding of the calves and like ready to freaking fight.
The ceremonial padding of the calves.
That's exactly how you do it. And then we see that match, which could very well like blow the place, you know, blow the roof. But again, what are you gonna have? Poor Nick Aldis taking the beat down from Randy Orton. You know?
Well, the other thing is Randy had seemed pretty babyface, right, in all of this. And I think there's still a way to do it with him as a face because Nick Aldis is an authority figure, but he's not like a heel authority figure. And I think you probably want to keep Randy Orton face because I'm assuming we do Randy Orton versus John Cena on this retirement tour. And Cena's obviously mega heel right now. So I think you probably want to keep him face. Going up against Solo solves all those problems. And it's also a good use of him because Solo's a young talent and his Thunder kind of got not the fault of Jacob Fatu, just the man that Jacob Fatu is, right, kind of, I think, stole his Thunder a little bit. So
yeah,
a WrestleMania match.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
With Randy Orton, I think would be a nice way to go. I don't think I realized till tonight how badly I was like, it should be Carmelo. That's just kind of where I'm at. But that's kind of what bookended our show tonight. So we're going to keep moving along here. Get in those super chats and Humper chats. We've got a lot to talk about with WrestleMania. Let's move into our women's tag gauntlet, because I'm just going to say it. I used the strong language on Tuesday a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Some of this, I'm sorry to offend, so if, just caution, okay?
I'm taking my headphones off.
Yeah, but if you have children around, get them away from your screen right now, okay? If you are get easily queasy or whatever, this is gonna be the most violent words I could say, okay? Some of this tag gauntlet booking was downright, I hate to say it, silly.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I'm sorry to be so harsh.
I think the stream is down. I think they took us off air on YouTube for that.
It probably is. I'm sorry, Deshaun. I'm gonna get us demonetized for being so harsh and using such strong language, but it's silly. It's just downright silly. I said it three times, okay?
You like, did. This is, you said the this S is word great, three right? times.
Easier than the spike on Mock's back. Not even in the same ballpark, buddy, okay? Outkicking the coverage on that by miles, all right?
You are
It's silly, and I'll tell you why. Let's run through it. Bayley and Lyra come out. I was like, they're winning. Of course.
Sure. They're out first. We both said that, yeah.
Knew they were going to win, immediately knew it. What breaks my heart is Shayna and Zoe come out, and I was like, they are a tag team that is actually a tag team. Now, let's be explicitly clear about something. Bayley and Lyra, never tagged before. Natalya and Maxine, never tagged before. Meechan and B-Fab, I actually like them as a team, never tagged before. This is the state of your women's tag division, and what's so frustrating to me is that they took the tag titles from NXT, which has a women's division that from everybody says they have the best women's division, and I hope they all actually feel that way. They by far, at minimum, I can say, objectively, because this is an opinion, this is a fact, they have the best rotation of women's talent and the most screen time for women's talent of any wrestling product. And they took the NXT women's tag titles and they merged them with the main roster. I'm assuming they thought that meant main roster talent was going to be coming to NXT to defend them. But because their booking of the tag division for women is such a joke, this is the plan we have going into WrestleMania, is three teams of great talent. Three teams that I would like to see probably as a team for the most part. Get them some wins on television beforehand. This is ridiculous. And obviously, I'm going to go through it a little bit, but obviously Bayley and Lyra win, which means that your new mid-card titles, at least one of them, is not being defended at Mania, and I'm not convinced yet. I have the rundowns of what night two is going to be. I'm not convinced that Chelsea's defending hers either. And to introduce new women's mid-card titles and to book them the way that they have, for the lack of contenders, to halt an obvious story that was going on between Bayley and Roxanne, who worked her ass off with Tiffany tonight, by the way. Great match.
Yeah.
To just halt that story so we can have your IC title holder team with Bayley. It makes no sense. It's stupid.
Whoa.
And the yeah, I know. My goodness. I went even harder than silly, but
that's
in 3 minutes and 20 seconds, you have Bayley tossing out Zoe Stark in a barricade and Lyra rolling up Shayna Baszler with a jackknife pin. You have Natalya and Maxxine Dupri. You want to talk about ridiculous. Natalya got re-signed by this company. There was definitely interest on the other side.
Yep.
If you watch Natalya's Bloodsport promos, it is hard to look at her WWE career and say, why did they waste 2 decades of this woman's career? Her promos for Bloodsport have been unreal. She calls herself the low-key legend. She says that she's been a good girl, but it's holding her back from being a great woman and that she could become, and that this is the ultimate time. Like, absolutely insane. They re-signed her. They've done nothing with her. Nothing with her. Dupri locks in a sharpshooter. Cute. But Bayley counters it with a small package and eliminates that team. Then you have Katana and Kayden. Nice of them to remember they're on the roster.
You know, when I saw them come out,
you were like, oh, right. Like, oh, they were tag team champions.
My goodness. Look who's here.
Lyra lifts up Chance for a powerbomb, which looked really great. By the way, the work rate in this is excellent. All the women in this are excellent. That's why I'm trying to, with some fire, advocate for the fact that they should be used better. Mm-hmm. Literally all of the talent I love in this. Maxxine is the one that, like, I feel like could use some more reps, but they hot-shotted her like crazy from NXT. So she's still, like, learning on the fly here, but they eliminate Chance and Carter. Bayley helps with the power bomb, and they hit the Nightwing. They move on. Meechan and B-Fab come in. Bayley gets the rose plant on B-Fab. Piper Niven and Alba come in. This is the most, like, of a match, this ending stretch. Like, there's some really, really, really good work in here. But Alba Fire hits a super kick on Bayley, but Bayley gets the tag from Lyra, who mm-hmm. follows up with that guillotine leg drop that looked really good. And Piper and Fire get eliminated here. It is egregious to me that you have this much talent and you are still the entire time the women's tag titles have existed. It is just like, put some women together in tag teams. Now I will say this. The men's tag division on Raw ain't a bunch better. The SmackDown one, marginally better, because there's at least consistency with some of the teams that we're seeing. But, like, man, all of these women... I actually loved Meechan and B-Fab together. I think that's a really fun combo. They should have had literally, like, any wins beforehand. That would have been neat. Yeah. This is your women's tag division. These were the titles you had on Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Are you kidding me? Better with your women's divisions and do better with tag wrestling in general, because your men's picture ain't looking too bright, especially on Raw. SmackDown's at least we've got something cooking, but man, that's, you know, my rant. Go watch Natalya's Bloodsport promos. They're fantastic. Go watch Meechan and longer matches. Her counter wrestling is fantastic. Like, there's so much that these women offer to wrestling, and they just will not book them at all, like, to do anything that makes any sense. Brutal.
Here's the thing. You're gonna hotshot all these matches together, and I think because we watch to analyze, we don't watch to entertain. It's all convoluted. It doesn't make a lot of sense, right? But
when I'm watching something to review it, it's hard to be sports entertained when it makes right. this little sense.
Correct. But for the people there, they're very sports entertained. Not the whole time. A lot of the time, it seems like the crowd was sitting in their hands for this, for a lot of these, you know, incredible talent that were in the ring. But I do feel like perhaps there was no connection. Like, why are we putting this team together? Like, why have we seen them out there before? And the problem is just that, you know, you're supposed to be, these are the women's tag team championships, like, prestigious, you know, they're the very first ones in WWE. Like, you know, like, why isn't more emphasis put in on this? It feels like more or less like, oh, we forgot that that's part of our company. We got to do something to, you know, highlight them and make some matches for them. And that's where I start to feel it's more of an afterthought. And we get matches like we just saw today, unfortunately. So,
yeah. And the in-ring was great. Like, part of, you mentioned the crowd was like there for some of it, not other parts of it. Some of those hope spots worked, right? Some of them were like biting at certain spots. And that to me is also the success of a gauntlet match. Like, I love the gauntlet stipulation so much. I think it's so fun. I think it's so exciting. I think it's an opportunity to tell a lot of inventive stories, even if they kind of run with the same ones. But I do think that like, the in-ring overcame a lot of the senselessness of it because these women are incredible workers. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm with you.
Guys, I'm ranting and raving over here. Get in your super chats and humper chats. We get the match official. Liv Morgan and Raquel are ringside watching all of this unfold, of course. So we do get to see all of that. But if you guys want to get to see pay-per-views at a cheaper price, if you want to get to see WWE programming on platforms that maybe are more preferable to you, that where it's available in other countries, hi, Canada. I was watching from the home city of Kevin Owens today. If you want to do that all while making your internet connection a safer one, well, darn it, NordVPN is the VPN for you.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. Protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN, you guys, a fantastic partner to us, quite literally, and a service that wrestling fans benefit more from now than ever. Genuinely, if you want to watch everything on Netflix, get NordVPN because it makes it easy and super streamlined for you guys. You know, this is something that I did want to bring up, and something a lot of people that have been asking is, where the hell is Alexa Bliss? Like, has it been since Elimination Chamber that we've seen her?
I mean,
we haven't seen her since Elimination Chamber.
On TV, yes.
That's nuts. So she came back. Huge pop at Royal Rumble, right?
Got a new contract.
Got herself a new contract. Good for her. Mega pop at Rumble. And then we had kind of just started with the Wyatt interruptions. And then just nothing. And I believe it's Bo Dallas is injured. I can't remember if we reported that or not, but somebody is injured. I believe it's Bo Dallas. So Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss can't be a tag team? Like, be more creative than that. I'm sorry. Like, if that derailed the original story you were going to tell, tell a different one. Because why are you having Alexa Bliss sit at home? And Nikki Cross, I feel like, was maybe the most over person in that whole faction with the work that she was doing. She was doing incredible storytelling. I don't get it. Like, we're running out Natalya and Maxine Dupri as a tag team, even though they never tagged before, off of one backstage interaction. Where the hell are Nia and Candace? Look, like, a lot of people have been saying, like, Liv Morgan's had a year. She deserves to be on WrestleMania, and she does. Nia Jax is not my favorite wrestler. We've talked about it extensively. This has been by far the best work that she's done this past year or so, this past reign. Nothing for WrestleMania? Like, she's nowhere near this card. Nowhere near this card. I don't get it. Anthony Velasquez saying, don't know why they pulled Alexa off TV. She should definitely be feuding with Chelsea going into Mania. She should be doing something. She should be doing something. Like, I don't know if Nia's injured or not. Sometimes it's hard to keep up, guys. I'll ask Sean about that. I believe she debunked that on Twitter. Like, I think someone had said that she was injured, and she was like, nah, man, I'm chilling at home. But, like, Liv and Nia having had incredible runs between manias is unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. We'll continue talking about some women's wrestling. We'll balance out all of our griping here in a second by talking about this Naomi and Jade promo. But a couple of announcements were made on the show tonight. Saturday, your lineup is for WrestleMania weekend, to clarify. You've got a night one. You've got the world title with Gunther and Jey Uso. You have the women's title with Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair. The U.S. title between LA Knight and Jacob Fatu. You have El Grande Americano versus Rey Mysterio. You've got a tag title match with The New Day and the War Raiders. You have Naomi versus Jade Cargill. And you have the CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns triple threat. That's your Saturday card. Your Sunday card, as of now, is Logan Paul versus AJ Styles. Your IC title match, Braun Breaker versus Penta versus Dominic Mysterio versus Finn Balor. You have your women's title triple threat with Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair. You have your street fight with Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre. Tag titles for the ladies, Bayley and Lyra versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez of the Judgment Day. And of course, Cody Rhodes and John Cena. And I'm sure The Rock will be around, even though they've never explained anything. I don't know. Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We've got more to talk about with this episode. A heads up for the Fightful schedule as well. On Fightful Select, you will have Alex and Pulowski and I doing night one, night two of WrestleMania. That Friday, you'll have me and Cardoza here for SmackDown, like you normally do. You will also have the NXT Stand and Deliver post show with me and Alex Pulowski on the main as well. And then you will have Sean, I want to say, and Jeff Hawkins, I think is his co-host, for the WrestleMania post shows. So that will be a loaded weekend. And then, of course, your Raw after Mania, you will have Sean Rossab with all the scoops, as all tends to be the case coming out of WrestleMania, and especially with that Raw. That Raw is usually pretty loaded with at least information and hopefully some great wrestling. I'm hoping for Becky Lynch return because they could use her back. That is for sure. The other announcement we got was that DDP is going to be putting Lex Luger into the Hall of Fame, which is, I think, a wonderful choice. I think a wonderful choice. A lot of people were like, F you, Tony Khan, for not letting Sting. We don't know if Sting asked him. We don't know if Sting was asked.
Yeah, it's
we
so weird. People like, just like open their fat mouths without knowing what the hell is happening in the back end. Like, oh God.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into this.
No, it's a very weird phenomenon. And also, just so you guys know, like, wrestling companies are petty all the time. And it swings both ways. I'll just put it that way. And dare I say, You guys want some tribalistic heat? I would even go as far as to say WWE started it. I would go that far.
Do it again.
But all wrestling companies, every single one, they're all petty and they're all children and they should all be grounded. That's what I think. But let's throw back to this episode of SmackDown. You guys have been showing up with support all night. We appreciate it so much. Let's dive into this Jade and Naomi thing, because if there's a plate of crow somewhere, I'm vegan, but I would be forced to eat it. I really didn't think this was going to work. I really felt like, man, who doesn't want to root for Naomi, and who feels like Jade Cargill is a babyface that's going to have to overcome anything when she is like, oh my God, mega everything powerhouse woman. Like, I did not think this was going to work. I couldn't be more wrong. This has been great. This Naomi heel turn has been excellent. She cuts his promo dead serious, like just calling Jade Cargill a snake and an opportunist. And she says that she knows what she did was best for her and that Jade should proceed with caution. Jade responds saying that Naomi's insecurities caused her to lose her glow. She's like, she lost her aura. She lost whatever special about her. She lost her glow. And that Naomi's time is fading as this continues on here. And Jade promises to be Naomi's biggest threat at WrestleMania. Now that KO and Randy Orton is off, which breaks my heart into a million trillion little pieces, this match build-wise kind of feels the most like I want to beat the crap out of you pro wrestling style. Like, it does. Like, these two hate each other. They're constantly beating each other's asses. Like, it's what I kind of wanted from Cody and Cena, but because we had two talking segments and only one with physicality after that, I'm feeling right now, not feeling super satisfied with it. This one, they've been at each other. They've been talking about, this is like for pro wrestling. I'm like, I just want to see people talk shit and then beat each other up. That's all I want to see. That's all I want to see in this world. Like, man, and this is great. Like, these two have been, I feel like, nailing every beat to this that there is.
Yeah. You know, we're going to be able to, see exactly what Jade can do now, finally. You have the veteran in Naomi, who I think is gonna make her look incredible, is gonna put her through the ringer, because she's gonna beat the crap out of her, and I can't wait to see that. By the way, like, I want to see these two. Like, these two are big, strong, physical women, and if you guys have been watching me for the last 3 years, you know how I feel about my big, strong, physical women. I want them to kick booty and
yes,
just all over town. So I can't wait. Maybe this might just be my newest highlight match now, since everything's kind of just like all over the place, and I've lost the fire that I had for something else. So these two might, for me, do the thing. I texted you, I voice noted you, I was just like, yo, is there something wrong with me, or is this my type?
Two things can be true.
I was like, she's killing it, man. The dark, the anger. I don't think I've ever seen this side of her. Like, we've seen her be angry. We've seen her seem the heel, but she still had like the colorful getup. You know, they've stripped her down from all of that. Yeah. And the fact that they did, and what you are left with is just an angry, bitter, pissed off woman. That's what's going to make this angle even better.
I agree. I feel like so much of this is to, no offense to Jade, like, she's doing great with this. I think she was going to be white hot coming back no matter what happened, because she was just, I think people wanted to see her back on screen. They wanted to see her come back from her injury, and they wanted to see her in action. I feel like so much of this success has been dependent on whether or not Naomi could pull off exactly what you just said, this kind of like bare bone side of her, like this controlled anger heel is really great, because she had like the explosive emotive heel turn, and then since then it's just been very like, she's very in control of herself, very, very in control of herself. I like that for her. And I love that it's connecting. It makes me really happy, because I'm always rooting. That's why I was nervous it wasn't going to work, because I'm always rooting for her, man. Like, I'm always rooting for her. She's fantastic. So some good stuff, universally adored in wrestling, I'm told as well. So let's keep it rocking and rolling. We've got plenty more to talk about on this episode of SmackDown. Tina Keys chiming in saying, hello, beautiful bangs and claps connection. Hello. It was a solid program, at least while experiencing it live. Oh, I'm so glad we talked about it last week. Live wrestling is just the best. Sending loves and hugs right back at you, Tina. You're so wonderful to us.
Appreciate you.
Live wrestling rules, man. Live wrestling rules. Let's keep it rocking and rolling. Let's talk about this Roxanne and Tiffany Stratton match, because part of my frustration on this road to WrestleMania, especially as someone that covers NXT, is it feels like on 47 different occasions I've been like, and that's Roxanne's last match at NXT. She's had such a great run. It's time for her to go to the main roster. And when somebody enters the Royal Rumble, sets a record for the longest amount of time in the Royal Rumble, is the runner up in the Royal Rumble, and then doesn't win, but is in Elimination Chamber, kind of feels like they're an important part of the main roster if they're constantly going after titles, the top titles, right?
Yeah.
And then she just fell off the face of the earth, and she showed up in the lower mid card of NXT again. What on earth did you do with Roxanne Perez? It makes no sense. My mind is boggled. There was a picture of The Rock doing a Rubik's Cube. I'm over here playing Boggle. We're just throwing it back to games from the 80s and 90s. But we get this backstage where Roxanne says that she's hoping for the chance to replace Charlotte Flair. We had a parking lot attack that happened earlier. Seems like Tiffany Stratton is just fine from it, though. And she shows up and says, at least I'm not trying to chase a match into WrestleMania. I have mine, right? And Nick Aldis steps in and offers them a match on the show, and the match is great. Roxanne being the prodigy is just true. Like, she's really unreal, man. She's so skilled. Her and Tiffany had really good chemistry, too, and we kind of... there were moves that Roxanne doesn't always get to do with everyone that she got to pull out with Tiffany. Like her moveset was kind of expanded in tonight's match, and she got to really showcase who she is as a wrestler. And I loved it. I thought it was very, very good. I hope she's on Stand and Deliver somehow, but after the year that she's had and after the introduction to the main roster that she had, this makes just, it's baffling to me that how little sense this makes. Yeah. But what we got tonight was excellent, and I think justifies my assertion that she should be in consideration to be on a WrestleMania card somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. She's really like fluid in the ring. The way her match today was nearly perfect, to be honest. They put on a show. They actually, out of everything that was going on today in SmackDown, they were my highlight.
I'll take that
happened like on the outside or even after. These two really, really showed what the future of WWE is going to be like. And as long as they stay healthy and everything goes their way, I can't wait to see where they can go. We said this years ago about the Becky Lynch, about Bayley, about Mercedes, about Charlotte. Oh my god, look at these women, they're fighting. Remember that match between Bayley and Mercedes at NXT? Like, all these matches that were just incredible, and we were already in our heads thinking this is the future. We're at it again.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because as someone who covers NXT, you can kind of see like how people blossom and develop. And Sol Ruka is on that list next. There's like the big three that came in, and Julia and Steph Ecker and Zarya. And if you don't follow the Australian scene and you don't know who Zarya is, you're in for a treat, because she's F5 in people and spearing them out of their boots. Mm-hmm. And you kind of knew of those, but you're now starting to see that generation that's up next in NXT too. And then that'll soon be the main roster. Roxanne was like, needed to acclimate to the way WWE does things, but she walked in just like ready, man. That woman has been really good for a really long time. People might not know she was an ROH Women's Champion for a brief period of time. Like, She is everything as advertised. And if women ever get to main event WrestleMania again, I'm sure she will be one of them.
Yeah.
But I did mention that we had the parking lot brawl between Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton, or the attack rather. Both of them are facing disciplinary measures after the altercation, and Charlotte was sent home, was the justification there. So a good showing for Tiffany tonight. I think that was a good rebound. I just don't know why she was perfectly okay after the parking lot attack. It was, I guess Charlotte's not a very good parking lot attacker. She should go to the NXT parking lot for that. Like, there should be parking lot brawl developmental for people that need to go sharpen their parking skills. Parking brawl
development, that's funny.
But let's move along. Let's talk about this Rey Fénix video package and match. We get another highlight kind of showcase for Rey Fénix and his past matches. And we get Bordeaux heading to the ring. And Angel and Santos are with him initially, but they go to the back, which I thought was a nice touch. This match was a lot of fun. It was a nice reminder of what Berto can do. But you get the goodbye amigo kick and then the Mexican muscle buster for the win. And then post-match, you get Santos Escobar not being, I love this. He's not mad Rey Fénix won. And he's not even mad Berto lost. He's mad that Berto isn't the type of wrestler that Rey Fénix was in that win. He needs to see more out of him. And I love that. There's even a Lucha Underground kind of allusion to the history between them. And you get Escobar and Rey Fénix shaking hands. That'll be a match someday that I can't wait to see. But I love that Fénix wasn't like, I hate the guy who was better. I'm disappointed in the guy who lost because I need him to rise up if Legado is going to kind of have a resurgence with this. And he's so damn good that it all comes across so sincere. Like, I love that with him. What did you think of this whole sequence?
Yeah, I'm with you. The whole thing too is like we've said this jokingly, so this is not like any malintent or anything. But we were like, oh, I hope they don't, you know, plump them in with, you know, what they normally do. And here we are, friends. So, but if it's gonna lead to something really cool, if it's going to lead to a showcase between, you know, Rey Fénix and, you know, any of the guys from Legado de Fantasma, that would be great. You know, like, give me Santos and him for 7 matches. I don't care. That's going to be insane, right? There's a couple people missing in the picture, Andrade and all them, you know, like,
sure.
What could they bring to the table? But again, that's now me also doing the one thing I don't want to happen, you know? So
it's tricky because these guys do have a history to play off of, and the matches would be incredible, but I understand what you're saying.
But there's also, you know, there's also a need and a love for Lucha Libre, right? The style and the pageantry of it. I'm sorry to tell you this, but Rey Mysterio has lost the luster of Lucha Libre. He is more of a WWE entertainer in the ring, you know? So when you get people like Santos who come in and still has the love of Lucha Libre in him, you know, because of his dad and the legacy and all that stuff, and you have Andrade could definitely still throw it down, Lucha style.
Sure.
You know, and you now
he's also 50 too. You know what I mean?
Like, I understand. Yeah, of course. His bumpguard
is pretty
but,
full.
but in the last 10, but in, even in the last 15 years, then if you want to go back 15 years and put him in that time frame in his late 30s into 40s, right? A lot of that Lucha Libre style was kind of put away, right? So
sure,
I haven't seen it. I mean. I just don't want it to make a long story short, I just don't want it to be like, oh, let's put all the Latinos together and start, you know, Lucha Libre style, right? That's great and fine and dandy. Sure. But I also want to see them expand from that and not be boxed in. And I say this to you guys for the last, 3-4 years that I've been doing this show with Kate. I talk about the infamous boxed in pro wrestling. It's very real. Till today, there was a person that we spoke about here on the show today that has spoken about that box and how that box is being used. I'm not going to say their name and I'm not going to say who it is, but they've said it.
Yeah.
You know? So, Yeah.
Well, let's stick around because we've got tag team developments later on in the show as well. We do get an announcement of the from the commentary team about the SmackDown lineup for next week, which will include John Cena, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We'll get a match between Zelina Vega and Chelsea Green, which we'll talk about in a moment, and a tag team title match between the Street Profits and the Motor City Machine Guns. I had heard that that was subject to change. I think WrestleVotes had reported that. And the commentary team kind of alluded to being disappointed by that, which was interesting. I am. But there is a backstage segment where the Street Profits talk about their match with Motor City Machine Guns next week. Carmelo Hayes and Miz interrupts. Mm-hmm. They kind of hype themselves up. I actually liked Miz here. He kind of cuts them off as they were being mocked a little bit. And Dawkins then also kind of like loses his composure at the Miz. And Ford calms him down. And they agree to handle the two of them later. I don't know how many weeks in a row I can say it. Like, I'm not even like, some people are Miz haters. I'm not even a Miz hater. This is just not the context that Carmelo Hayes should be using in. And quite frankly, they should be embarrassed. Yeah. Like, they should be embarrassed that this guy was the number one draft pick, came up with all this hype from NXT, had a great, really successful run at NXT, and they've done nothing with him. They had a best of seven for the US title, and then they did nothing, and now they're doing this with The Miz after 50-50ing him. It boggles the mind. We're back to playing Boggle a little bit. I'm glad that he's consistently on TV. Like, that's important and good. But I just feel like he could be doing something more productive at the most important time of the year for them.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. We've been saying this now for a little bit over half of a year, starting last year until bleeding into this one. And it always seems like they just always throw someone with the Miz. Always.
Yeah. I do think we had also said that, like, the SmackDown division, tag division, needed some freshening up because it was just like DIY, Motor City Machine Guns, Pretty Deadly, and Los Garces, like, just on rotation. So I like that they're trying to get more teams in the mix. I just wouldn't, this wouldn't be the one that I would put in there. This is not at all even close to what Carmelo Hayes' ceiling is. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing. Yeah. There was also a backstage where DIY complained to Pretty Deadly about the conspiracy and their loss to the Guns last week. But Pretty Deadly ain't buying it because they're silly, but they're not stupid. All right. And the Guns then mock DIY for being losers, essentially, and say that they'll be facing off for the tag team titles next week. Not a mania. So some more developments there. We will see what happens. Those teams are someone that I think could, honestly, both. Like, the Raw tag division is in such dire need that I feel like either or both of those teams moving over to Raw would not be a bad idea. Any thoughts on that? It was just kind of like a...
Yeah, it was just that. Yeah, I mean, everyone, if you look at the long list in the 36 years that The Miz has been in WWE, you know, just look at it. He's just been a decorated tag team person with every person that they just can't find something to do with, right? As far back as Alex Riley, maybe even further. I don't even know. Like,
hey, Ryan.
My memory banks are not firing as good as they used to.
Name old man status, friends. Oh, you call yourself a fan? Name five tag team partners of The Miz.
Oh my God, don't even start, please.
You call yourself a fan?
We got The Miz and Alex Riley. We got The Miz and Miz Dow. We got The Miz and R-Truth. We got, there's two more in there. Hold on. I forgot. Damn it.
Was Shane McMahon, were they a tag team ever?
Him and Shane McMahon and him. Yeah, they were. Yeah. That's right. So that's four. And there was Randy Orton? No, not Randy Orton. I thought there was like a little thing there between them, but I could be
Randy wrong. Orton's one that gets paired with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Miz and Big Show.
The Miz Show.
There we go. There see? You go. That's fine. I'm a real fan. Luckily, Kate was able to kickstart my memory there because
Morrison. How did we forget about the Ms. Morrison run?
Oh my gosh!
Johnny
See,
Dripstick.
That was back in 1996. That's crazy.
That was not. That was pandemic era, right?
I know. Yeah. I'm kidding.
It feels that way, though. It feels that way. Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We're going to talk about this Cody Rhodes segment. And it feels like they were like, you know what? AEW has their world title hidden away for some reason in a briefcase for months on end. We're going to show you all the titles. And I kind of liked it. Alex, we got to see the spinner belt before I even go into this Cody segment. Are you pro spinner belt or are you anti spinner belt?
It was a dark time for me.
It's gaudy.
There was nothing else on television back then. This is the big move to the HD era, if I remember correctly. So, we don't talk about that in the Cardoza household any longer. But yeah.
We do get this from Cody. Now I'll ask you this. Did you ever have a replica spinner belt or did you ever have replica belts in general?
Never had any replica belts. I am too poor to own a replica belt. The one that I have back there came from Target. So that's about it.
Chat, let us know if you're into the spinner belt.
Yeah.
People love it or hate it. And there are some people that are like, there's so many people that love it, but acknowledge that it's hideous. Like there's so many people that are just like, it's stupid, but I love it.
And if anyone wants to start up a GoFundMe to get me a title belt replica type, by all means, like the Clavs will take it.
There you go. I'm just kidding. I'm not a replica belt person either.
No.
I thought about doing, I don't know if WWE does this because I think it would be cool, but because AEW is so young, I thought it would be fun. You can buy just like the mini side plate things.
Sure. Yes, you can.
And I was like, oh, it'd be cool to get each champion with that. Like that would be a fun, affordable way to go.
Yeah.
I'll take the Winged Eagle only. I'm into Athena spinner belt. Hers is not like dressed up in as many fake rhinestones. So
yeah.
I'll get you both a 24/7 belt. Hey, that'll be
cool. TV
the next day, my friend. Sorry. But let's talk about this segment with Cody. He comes to the ring and there's several titles displayed on the podium. And he just gives a nice emotional promo talking about the legacy of the WWE Championship. And he essentially addresses Cena and their match and says that Cena's long reign and his contributions to WWE are all super important to the legacy of those belts and to WWE, but that the fans, I liked this from Cody. It was like such a great line and he felt so authentic saying it of like, the fans are allowed to choose someone else.
Yeah. Sure.
And I liked that because it was like a little bit inside baseball, but it wasn't so like wink and a nudge-ish, but it was just like the fans get to, we're not in the era where you get to win every time, right? Like
yep. The
fans get to choose someone else. Like they get to choose. And I just thought that was nicely said because it wasn't a like, and the WWE universe is behind me. It was just like, they don't have to pick you anymore, man. They've got other options now. And I liked that he put over the rest of the locker room, like Sami Zayn, he starts throwing out everybody else who he holds it up for. He says, it's not even about him anymore. It's about the next 20 champions and says that title is coming home with him and continuing its legacy. I felt like this was kind of a standard promo considering how monumental the heel turn from Cena is supposed to have been. But yeah. I felt like it was one of the more naturally well-delivered ones from Cody. Like, I like when we get to see the more kind of human side. And I felt like the display of the belts kind of took away the, like, mm-hmm. I'm talking to the crowd. Like, it was very, very human, and I liked that a lot.
And I think he almost cried in the beginning again. That's a lot of...
It felt real, though. Like, it didn't feel so... It wasn't like a dramatic pause. You know what I mean? It wasn't like...
I guess. I took it that way. So, I mean, maybe I just maybe got to rewatch it again. But, I mean, that's just me.
Yeah.
You don't have to like everything, chat. Okay?
Yes, you do.
I'm angry. No, I'm kidding.
Did you think Spinnerbell is friggin' poopy? Excuse my language. Man, I thought me saying silly easy earlier killers. Was aggressive.
Easy. We're threading a line here. Telling you, Saturday morning, we got to be careful. Yeah.
Don't get us kicked off, man.
They're going to want their 100K award back.
I don't know what next week is going to bring, but as of right now, I am not nearly as bought into the Cena-Cody situation as I thought. And I think a big part of it is the elephant in the room that The Rock hasn't been a piece of this at all. I would be surprised if he's not back in action. Not in action. I don't think he's getting in the ring, but he's got to be in town for the big weekend. So I'm assuming we see him next week. But
I mean, he's literally stayed away.
Yeah, exactly. It's Vegas, baby.
Vegas.
We have some more women's wrestling to talk about. We get to. I love that I naturally said we get to talk about Chelsea Green, who, is talking to a door looking for Piper and Alba Fire. And she's like, you gotta help me out. I know you lost that tag gauntlet, ladies, but you gotta help me out. And Zelina Vega comes by and mocks Chelsea Green for having to wrestle alone and says, we'll see how it goes when you're all alone in there. Zelina Vega wins this by count out in about a minute. Chelsea looks pretty stupid. I don't love that. But I do like the idea that Chelsea can't control her emotions without Piper and Alba being there to help her out. This is not the fault of Zelina Vega, but just the crowd was not into it. No. Not into it from her entrance into this, because they don't ever do anything with her. Like, she doesn't pick up wins. She lost last week. Like, she's failing upward to a title shot here. And then they make Chelsea look silly in the process. Like, that's just not great. Not great booking there.
Not at all.
Where do you stand on that?
You already know how I feel about poor Zelina and everything. Like, just like it's done nothing on the change of the brand. I mean, whether she ends up with Alistair, maybe teaming up with him. Like, I don't know what they do. Like, maybe they try that, but that match was just, you hear what I'm trying to say? That's what the match was.
Yeah.
I feel bad for like everything that she's endured and want, you know, she's still fighting to be a wrestler. She's still trying to be out there. She's still doing her videos online and she's still talking. But none of it has gained any traction and any attention. Like, it's so stuck and I feel bad.
Well, they don't put her. It's very easy to solve. Alex is the problem. Put her in matches against opponents where she wins. That's it. It's
too much. Too much.
Three wins.
Too much for them.
Under her belt. Alex Pulowski, who you can catch on Fightful Select with me all next weekend. He is stuck with me, my friends, and you can catch him on Fightful Select reviewing some SmackDown as well, saying, again, I calmly request that you address Cody's hedge fund soon. I thought about leaving this because then the calmly part will go away and you'll just aggressively type about it in the chat, which I think would be fun. They were a statement. Did you pick up on the shoes?
No, what was that all about?
You're gonna have to go look at them.
Oh,
you're
boy.
Gonna have to look them up. It's their hedge fund shoes is a great way to describe them.
Well, I had no idea. I'm gonna have to like look this up and after the show and perhaps talk about it.
See, Alex gets very caught up on wrestler's fashion, like very caught up on it.
You know, I'm usually like trying to hear if they're crying, so I guess I'll go look at their shoes now.
The styling on them. See, I wasn't distracted by the type of shoes they were. I felt like they didn't go with the suit.
Mm.
So I was more thrown off of that. But they were like, they were a statement. I'll put it that way.
I will make sure I check it out for you.
let's wrap it up here with this Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre recap and a brawl that we get that was supposed to be a one-on-one, and commentary really tried to make us believe that there was going to be no physicality. They were like, I think that at least implies. And I was like, no. When has Drew ever not gone off the handle in a face-to-face? Drew McIntyre?
This is true.
Alex says that they were garish. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. We get this recap of Damian slamming Drew onto the car on social media. He had posted himself at the eye doctor, so hopefully he didn't get damage from glass at his eye. But they set up a Sin City street fight at Mania. I'm really glad they threw a stipulation on this because they needed to.
Sure.
Not a ton of heat on this. And I don't, this is so frustrating because I don't set out to be negative, but I can't fully say why, because I feel like they're justified in how much they hate each other. I feel like the promos have been great. I feel like a stipulation is a very, very good call for this. And I feel like they're both excellent wrestlers, and I look forward to the physicality because they're both really big dudes, like really, really big dudes. I don't know why this, maybe just because it hasn't gotten enough spotlight, maybe because there hasn't been enough matches built kind of along the way in this, but like, I thought what we got tonight was actually really, really good. And I'm like, it's just not like kicking into the next gear for me, but they commentary does a nice job with this too. They talk about how like this match has been a year in the making, and they start to brawl. Priest lands a really nice rebound clothesline, but Drew fights back. We get a Future Shock DDT. And we get Drew leaving the ring here. And I liked the exchange of words. I've liked the build to it, honestly. Like Damian Priest calling him a whiner and a crybaby. Like, I love him because he's a petty king, but he is kind of a whiner and a crybaby who can't let anything go. And Drew just being able to continually harp on the idea of like, every time I've made progress toward the title, you've stood in my way in some regard. Like, you've always been there just to take it away from me or peripherally in some way. Like, there's been so many checkpoints from last year to this year where that's been the case. And I just don't feel like there's a ton of fire under this. I think maybe at Mania, when we're talking a Sin City street fight between these two, it'll kick up then. But they've done a good job with this. This has been one of the better builds, I think. And I'm still, there's something about it that just isn't quite grabbing me. And I really like both of these guys, especially Drew. Where are you at on this?
I guess I'm just on the fence with them two. I want to see, cool, like, they're going to beat each other up. You know?
You're ready for the fight part?
Yeah. I'm just, let's get it over with. Besides just the fact that they've just been, you know, poop talking to each other. That's about it. You know, like, well, great. I hate you. I hate you back. All right. Meet you at 3 o'clock at the quad. All right, cool. Let's do this.
Well, you know? It's been more nuanced than that.
Oh, I know. But for me, like mentally watching and just seeing it, right. It's just like, that's the
you're ready for them to beat each other up.
For a company that normally does higher end storytelling and more, you know, things happening, like, I don't know. And for me, it was tonight was that meme-worthy moment when Drew had him down by the corner and Damian Priest's eyes was like wide open. And that is, I screenshotted it. I'm like, I'm using this and I'm going to use it for like every awkward situation when I'm talking to someone. I'm going to send them this picture.
See, I feel like the story actually has been stronger. That's why I'm like, that's why really? I'm doing some,
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not
searching and some I've reflecting.
Maybe I just been. This whole WrestleMania season has just been turned off by it. There's nothing like really punching me in the gut and saying, all right, watch this. Maybe it's my own fault. Maybe I'm just not looking for it. You know,
I feel like maybe there hasn't been enough of like he slammed him on a card last week. Why am I not overwhelmed with excitement?
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. Cause like, we just had Jane being slammed on a car not too long ago. Then we had Bronson Reed killing, what's his face on a car a couple months ago. So like, you know, it's sometimes things do get a little over you. So like you're now conscious of it. So it's nothing that's like, oh my God, the car spot. Right. Because
we've seen a few of them.
We've been conditioned to it. Yeah, we pretty much, you know.
But when you look at last year's WrestleMania and this year's WrestleMania and the way that these two have interwoven in and out of each other's storylines, and Drew had, I like that Drew went there today and said, I am justified at literally everything I've done. And he's right. And he is justified. And I'm anticipate a great match between these two. So I'm like, where's the disconnect for me?
Right, that's what I'm saying. The match is going to be great. But I've also seen now Drew use this same tactic for two other wrestlers. Seth Rollins, he hated him. And then CM Punk, he hated him. And for the last two, you know, big...
I mean, it's wrestling. They're supposed to hate each other.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, it's very similar. Just with a couple twists here and there. So, you know, it's not it's like... You know, I think it's just I'm still waiting for that oomph to happen. That oh shoot, okay, I'm ready. You know,
I love this from Cyclops is better than Wolverine saying Alex Pulaski still loses sleep over one guy with one sleeve. Yeah, he's Saquon Sugars has a fashion statement where he has a one sleeve situation, and I don't think Alex has slept since he showed it. So. But I will say, I think this has a potential to be like a sleeper match of Mania. Like, I think this could get really, really, really fun, especially as a street fight. I think people forget how big Damian Priest is sometimes because he has such an engaging demeanor about him. And I think these two are going to beat the ever living crap out of each other. So I think day of, I'm going to be really, really excited for this match. But, and I feel like all the work has been good leading into it. I don't know. There's just something about it that I'm not like next geared about, but we will see what next week brings. It's Mania week, baby. Even if we're feeling like it's not fully there yet, it's Mania week. We're going to have some fun coming up. Stay tuned. Sean will have you covered Monday. We'll have our usual events. We'll be here next Friday for what's basically the WrestleMania SmackDown, right? We've got the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We've got that tag match. We've got Chelsea in a match against Lena Vega. So we've got a lot going on there. WrestleMania weekends, you'll have Sean on the main all weekend. You'll have me and Alex Pulaski on FightfulSelect.com. Thursday, you're probably going to have Cresta, whether it's TNA, whether it's Collision. We're going to find out. We'll keep you posted. But Joel Pearl, who's normally on that TNA post show with her, is actually going to be in Vegas doing some coverage for us.
Let's go.
Getting some interviews for y'all. We appreciate the support so much. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel if you haven't already. We are growing and rocking and rolling over here. We've got plenty more to come. But Alex, before we get out of here, before we enjoy our weekend before WrestleMania weekend, where can people find you?
Hey, head over to LexisCardoza.com. Make sure you follow me. I'm trying to build up my YouTube again. So go there. Follow me on YouTube. And then you also see a nice little link to my new micro short pod that's doing extremely well. Was not expecting it, and it kind of blew up. So it's called This Is Fine, a Millennial Diary. And they're micro burst episodes. Literally, they are 5 to 6 minute episodes. And for some reason, people have gravitated to them. I don't know why. I just wanted to do something because I was bored. And goddamn, out of all the things I do, that's the one that... It really just took off.
I've seen it, and I think there's a lot for people to connect to in it. I think it's a very authentic thing. So I
it's,
think
it's from the heart. It's I miss my childhood. I miss how I grew up, and so it's a twist. It's not necessarily about your childhood. It's more about growing up as we have as millennials and everything we have had to endure. Since growing up. Sure. So yeah, go check it out. And I would really appreciate you guys if you do and subscribe and leave me comments and say how much you love me and my clavs.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah to that. Guys, you can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media and my own YouTube channel, which hopefully will be starting sooner than later up again. I've had a lot going on the Fightful side. We're working hard on some social media content for you guys and kind of juicing up what's happening across platforms, especially our TikTok. You're going to want to stay tuned to that. We're going to be doing some, I think Sean has mentioned on air before that we're zeroing in on a deal with them ourselves. So nice. We're going to be doing some fun stuff on TikTok as well. WrestleMania week, baby. Stay tuned as we continue down the mountain here. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We'll see you next week.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.